How many of you, it is well with your soul? Well, you know, even if you're here today and you've come in here and you go, hey, it ain't well with me. It just didn't well with me. Things aren't going well. Things are crazy. I had to start school last week. I started teaching class again last week. It's not that well. I want you to know that in Christ, it is well with your soul. And it's sometimes I think we have just sometimes left the planet and forgotten there is a God that doesn't leave. There is a God that is attentive. There is a God that is full of grace. Mercy is an absolute. And God is drawing people to him on a daily basis that are being saved. Did you realize that? On a daily basis, people are coming to Christ. He said, well, you know, the world's not going like I want it. You know what I say? Thank God. I don't want the world to go like I want it to go, because if the world goes like I want it to go, I can guarantee you it'll be messed up. How many of y'all have had your own way before? Yeah, that was sweet, wasn't it? You just had to have it. You had to have it your way. You had to have this. You had to get it this way. This is the way it was going to be. And so I want to challenge you today to this. First of all, last week this is a trilogy of sermons. Last week we learned that the Lord God Almighty, who made every one of us, has given all of us something. Okay, so refocus. I'm asking you, what is God giving you, and are you investing that? What is God giving you, and are you investing that? Here's the problem. Most of us like to look at what God has given somebody else and worry about how they're investing it. But you see, that's not what we're called to do. We're to look at what God has given us, and we're to invest that. We're to invest that. Now, I just have a hunch that if everybody would do something with what God has given them, then we would see the Church of Grace and Mercy begin to explode across the world. However, we got an enemy. How many of y'all believe we got an enemy? There is an enemy to the things of God. It cannot win. Let me preface that. There is an enemy to the things of God. And let me put quotes over here. It cannot what? It can't win. Who defeats God? Tell me, who defeats God? Thank you, brother. Nobody. 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 Now, sometimes I say some things and it gets y'all all angry. Like when I say, God doesn't care what you think. He doesn't. This wigs us out because we're Americans and we've been taught since we were born that our self-esteem is high and we're worthy and we're a little better than everybody else and we ought to have this and we ought to have that. And all of those, I want to tell you today, are pre-programmed lies of our culture. You're not better than anybody else. You're a sinner saved by grace. You're not special. You're worthy to be changed by God. But so is everybody else. Some of us pride ourselves because we've done a few things right. Have you noticed that? Some of us get very prideful because we do a few things right. But I haven't met anybody yet that's done all of them right. Have you? You know, I used to hear these old biddies at church. They'd brag about never tasting alcohol. They never read the section on gossip. And guess what? That sends you to the same hell as addiction. See what I'm saying? We need to understand, we all stand into the grace of God. It is well with my soul. It is well with your soul. It is well with humanity's soul for one reason. And he has a name. And he is Jesus, the Son of God, crucified for the sins of the world and risen. Risen. So that the world might have hope. Now there's no other close. I don't have a plan B message. That's it. Somebody asked me on that. He said, Ayers, you always preaching on Jesus. Do you preach anything else? I said, no. And they said, how many times can you talk about the cross and resurrection? I said, every Sunday. This was another pastor I was talking to. And he said, well, don't you think you need to get deeper than that? I said, it doesn't get any deeper than that. I said, I think you need to go get some theology. I said, what you want to do is major on surface psychological principles and call that depth. And the only reason you think it's deep is because you're stimulating the mind. Because that's to the extent of the human ability. We can stimulate mind and emotions, but we cannot change soul. We just heard sung most beautifully that hymn that was birthed out of a tragic moment. It is well with my your soul, my soul, the soul of the world, the soul of a nation, the soul of a people will not be healed until it submits to Jesus. How many of y'all trust God to come through no matter what? Well, I'm going to take you to the second principle today. Everybody got something. Y'all agree with me? All of us got something. How many of y'all looked around and at least evaluated last week? What have I been given? What have I been given? What do I hold that can be invested in the kingdom of God? I'm going to tell you, if you start thinking this way, you'll change everything you do. What do I have? Not what does somebody else have? Now listen, I'm going to tell you, in a world today, I asked the men's ministry Wednesday night. I got to teach our great men in this church. And do you all hear fair all the time? Everybody wants everything to be fair. I want you to know that fairness is a $1 trillion business in the United States of America. People make billions of money off of this. Well, I asked him, I said, what's fair? And the room got silent. What is fair? Fair is always according to your personal perspective. You may tell you what's fair? Y'all really want fairness? What is fair is we all die and go to hell. That's fair. So all y'all that demand all this justice, in God's perspective, justice is you perish and go to hell. According to your standard of justice, your definition of justice. If you get what you deserve. How many of y'all want to get what you deserve? I don't. How many of you all would rather allow the grace of God to intervene into the world and bring us to where we can be and not what we deserve? You see, grace and mercy is a lot better than fairness. But I live in a world that talks about what? They scream every day, fairness and equality, fairness and equality. The reason they do that, it's big money. It's big money. Wake up, children of God. It's big money. And then who do people come against? This has been historically founded. They come against the people of who? God. You know why? Because they're the people of grace and mercy. And they throw a wrench in the system of fairness. And they say, I follow a God that isn't fair, but I follow a God that is just. I follow a God that doesn't look and weigh things equally, but he says, guess what? By my mercy, you can be. By my grace, you can become. By this sacrifice of my son, you will become a new people, a new nation, a new kingdom, a group of royal priests. I think we need to hear what God's got to say again. Afresh. Well, we all got something. And now I want you to see this. Be who you are. How many of you all have heard that 1,000 times? Be who you are. Some of you young people, be who you are. But church, here's what I really want to tell you. Be who you are. How many of you all always want to be somebody else? Want to be somebody else? Look at somebody else's life and say, I want that. Listen, I can barely live the life I've been given, much less yours. How many of y'all want to trade problems with anybody? Me either, because I know my problems. I don't really know your problems. I mean, if we were to put everybody's problem in a pile up here today, kind of like that shoe game you used to play when you was a kid, everybody piled their shoes in the middle of the room, and you went to find your pair of shoes. Now, how many of you all put on somebody else's shoes? I didn't, because I like the way my feet stink. You see what I'm saying? I want what God has made for me. And God has made something that suits you, and every one of us are a part of the plan of God. I think we forget that. Every one of us are part of the plan of God. And every person is important in that plan. Everybody's got something? And now you need to guess what? Stay in the attire. Mark, you're going to like this one. The attire that God has given you. I want to take you to 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 38. I got to give you just a little bit of updated history before we get to the 38th verse. We have a problem. God's people are under attack. Sound familiar? Huh? I'm in the First Testament, and God's people are under attack. They're under attack by a very powerful, fortified nation of technology called the Philistines. They have mastered the sharpening, Freddie, you'll like this. They have mastered the sharpening of iron. Thus, it has given them a military advantage. So they have come at the army of God. They've come at the people of God with the power of their technologies. Does that sound familiar? I'm in the same battle today. The church doesn't, watch this, the church is finding itself in America. It's finding itself, what do we do? And I want to make a suggestion. We arm ourselves with the grace and mercy of God, and we do battle in the way God has made us. I'm afraid what we've tried to do is we've tried to match technologies with the world. We've tried to match, this was a big word in the 80s, the church needs to be relevant. I say, no, the church needs to be powerful. The church is never connected with the culture. Jesus never connected with the culture. He never came down here and said, hey, man, you guys are awesome. He never said, man, this is some awesome stuff you all have created. He didn't sit down with his disciples and said, man, I'm here to connect with you to learn how to fish. He already knew how to fish, Shane. He already knew about the water. He knew about the molecules. There's not a scientist in the world that has discovered anything that God hadn't already created. But we get amazed with who we are sometimes. Would you agree? I'm going to pause for a minute. Give me a head nod or something. Do you think we get amazed with who we are? Now, I know you wouldn't say this verbally, but how many of y'all have ever looked in the mirror and said, I am just amazing? You know what I mean? At least a cartoon caption came up on top of your head. I try to tell Elizabeth that, but she's not convinced yet. See what I'm saying? In other words, what I do is so much better than everybody else. Any of y'all ever gotten that attitude? Well, it doesn't work. Because guess what? For us to move faithfully in the world, we're going to have to understand we got to move in the power of God. I think our nation's in trouble, personally. How many of y'all think we're in trouble? Anybody think we're in trouble? Okay, so listen. Now, the first thing we can't do is whine about it. Christians have a tendency to whine more than pray. Okay, yeah, there's some bad things going on. I want to wake you all up. Bad things have been going on since the beginning of time. Okay? Y'all think Chicago's bad? Listen, the first murder was by the first human beings and was in the garden. We got Cain and Abel in a drive-by. It doesn't take too long in the scripture, and we got somebody who's been killed. Why? Because when we flow in our own power, we have to eliminate the enemy. When you can't convert the enemy, or you can't bring the enemy to life, or you can't bring redemption, then you must bring death. When you can't bring redemption, you must bring death. The peace-loving religions without Christ, do you notice they're religions that shed blood because they haven't been given blood? See, when you got to be your own God, then you got to take what opposes you. When you are God, you can recreate the opposition. Pretty neat, isn't it? See the difference in depth? Well, the Philistines are fortified. They're powerful. They got a star player. They got a franchise player in their army named Goliath. Goliath's a big guy. He runs a 40 real well. He swings a sword real well. His shield bearer is real competent. He is chastising the armies of God. He is chastising the armies of God. He's very vile, and he's asking them where their God is and where the power is and how come God hadn't done this, and why hadn't God delivered them? Sounds like the world today, right? I mean, I've heard this from so many of my non-believing friends. Well, if there was a God, there wouldn't be any bad things in the world. Really? 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 Well, the problem with the bad things in the world is not because there's a God. It's because he let humans exist. If you notice, we create most of our bad stuff. Even natural disasters, we get all alarmed. Well, I can't believe God took my house out in a hurricane. Really? Really? It's what happens when you build your house next to an ocean. We were alarmed to see a city totally devastated that was built 5 feet below sea level. Wonder who thought that brilliant idea up? See, because we said by our technology, by our levees, by our... Oh! And the levees were built by the government. Absolutely foolproof. I got so tickled at Katrina. Well, the Corps of Engineers built this. Who's the Corps of Engineers? Us! We don't build things that last. Have y'all noticed that? How many of y'all have ever owned a vehicle you never took into service? I don't care what brand it is. What does it do? Tears up. I fool around with marine stuff, boat stuff. It tears up all the time. It just tears up. That's what it's supposed to do. It's a boat. It tears up.
the miracle to me of the story of Noah, that the boat didn't fall apart in 40 days and 40 nights. Stuff tears up. How many of y'all got stuff that tears up? What about your clothes? It starts out with new clothes, and what do they become? Rags. Oh, Charlotte goes all the way. How many of y'all, your new suit one day became rags? Your favorite t-shirt you now shine your car with. But you remember on the day what? You got it. So we come at God's people with technology of the world. I want you to see this David and Goliath story in a little different light because it plays into what's going on today. So here comes the Philistine. He's antagonizing the army of God, and then there's an unlikely candidate, David. He's the youngest of many sons, Jesse's sons. David's overlooked a lot. How many of y'all have ever been overlooked a lot? Raise your hand if you've ever been overlooked. Because somebody else could what? How many of y'all have ever seen this? Somebody that looked like they could do the job got the job. But they didn't necessarily could do the job. They just looked like they could do the job. We're big on this in America. In fact, back in the 80s, we used to say this, fake it till you what? Oh, some of you grew up in the 80s. Yeah, fake it till you make it. That was the business. You know, as long as you had a suit on and a tie on and you had like business hair, it didn't mean you had any sense. It just what? You look like you. How many of y'all want a doctor that looks like he can do surgery? How many of y'all want a handsome doctor that looks like he can do surgery? Or how many of y'all take an ugly doctor that can do surgery? Which one you want, A or B? I don't know about you, but when a doctor's getting ready to do surgery, I don't care what the dude looks like or what she looks like. Do you? I want to know one thing. What's that? Do they know what they're doing? Well, I tell you what, old Goliath knew what he was doing. He knew how to fight. There's no doubt about it. And he antagonized the armies of God. Little ruddy boy comes in to bring lunch to his brothers on the battle line named David. And David hears this Philistine just vile, just vile. I mean, we have some vile people today in this world. Amen. Have y'all heard them? I mean, just say things about God that I'm sitting there thinking, we got a God of grace and mercy. We've said some things before about God. One of my favorite lines is, as we built this big ship called the Titanic, remember the biggest in the world? I mean, we had educated people put that ship together. Engineers. We had technology chase. They had a big media fanfare before it left. It was all in the papers of that time. It was big. Shane, do you remember what they said about the ship? Nothing can sink it, not even Robert, not even God himself. They got the bottle of the equivalent of whatever Don Perignon was back then. They christened her with the champagne. The ship took off, and it did not even complete its first voyage. I want us to hear clearly today that we will not accomplish on our own what God can and will accomplish through us if we stay in who we are. Now, that's the secret, is to be who God has made you to be, not to lust after being somebody else. Make sense? I mean, there's a lot of great preachers, but I can't be them. I'm not Charles Stanley. Charles Stanley's Charles Stanley. I'm not Billy Graham. Billy Graham's Billy Graham. Make sense? I learned a long time ago, I can only be Steve Ayers. That's all I can be. I can be Steve Ayers, blessed by God. You can be you, blessed by God. Make sense? I can't dance like you, young prophet. I mean, I could stand up there all day, pray, take dance lessons, get me a YouTube video, and guess what? My feet ain't moving because God didn't give me that. Make sense? Claypool can stand up there in front of people and get them to spend money over scrub land like nobody I've ever seen. He's the man. God taught him how to auction. God let Merle retire. You know, blessed. He gave Merle the ability to understand, educate. He's given everybody something in this room. But you got to be who you are. And I'm going to warn you. I think we lose a lot of battles because we suit up in other people's armor. And David was keen enough to know. David walks in, he hears this Philistine just vile, just cursing God's people, talking about God, saying he can't be defeated. I want you to know the proverb is true. You want to be defeated in your life? God opposes the what? Proud. God does oppose the proud. And you say, well, Pastor Steve, it doesn't look like it. Looks like to me today the world is being won by the proud, the arrogant, the mighty. I have never in my lifetime, some of you all may have in your lifetime, I have never seen more self-assumed leadership than I do today. And it's from all quadrants of leadership. Here's the word I hear all the time. I've done it. Let me show you. Now, back when I was a young man and I was learning about leadership, one of the things about leadership was this. They taught us that to be a good leader, it is to gauge the people to get the things done. That you alone can't get it done. How many of y'all remember that old school thought? Donna, not that you're old, but you would have heard that in leadership, correct? In fact, when I was in seminary, the old preacher said, listen, you better beware of a preacher that says I all the time. In fact, you need to sit there and listen to how many times they say I've done this, I've done that. No. God will is different than I will. Amen? God will is different than what? I will. How many of y'all glad to know that God will be involved in your life? God will send his grace and mercy. God will deliver. So, warning. God puts you in this world where you're to be put in this world. You have been made to be who you're supposed to be and don't want to be somebody else. Now, David becomes offended to the point of action. I'll be glad when the church gets there. We're offended, but not to the point of action. Here, I'll show you. Don't raise your hand. How many of y'all are so concerned about the world going to hell that you shared the gospel with somebody this week? One day you'll get that concerned about the world going to hell. But until you share the gospel, you are no more than a noisy gong. Welcome to the Church of America. We've had more seminars, more videos, more books, more training, more conversation, more conferences, more everything about how to do it, but we refuse to go do it. Think about this army. Here's Israel's army. They're fortified. They have technology. They have some swords. They have some capability. And they're sitting there with their capability, and out of fear, no one will engage the enemy. Is that where we are today in the modern church? Well, Pastor Ayers, you can't say that. Somebody will be offended. Good gosh. Some of you all are such weak human beings. You are more worried about offending than you are truth. What did the Bible say? The truth will set you what? And the truth sometimes is what? Offensive! Elizabeth offends me all the time when she's right. Timmy, your wife ever been right? It's what? It's offensive at the moment. Chuck, I know yours has. And so once I get to the truth, then I have to make a decision. How am I going to respond? Am I going to engage with what God has given me, or am I going to step back? I think this is a lie of the devil. We don't have enough to change the world. Baloney. 12 men turned it upside down, and one of them made an F. Comes to the point, David basically comes to this conclusion. He said, I'll take on the giant. They thought he was out of his mind. They looked at who he was. They said, David, you're a little old runny shepherd boy. You don't have the equipment. You don't have the technology. You don't have the military training. You don't have the ability. You haven't been to military academy. There's no way. And David said, no, let me tell you what I am. I'm a shepherd boy. I have fought the bear. I have fought the lion. I have killed the bear. I have killed the lion. I have protected the sheep. And I'm willing to stand in the gap. How many of y'all realize that a lot of people do great things under that one basis? They're willing to stand in the gap. See, God can do whatever he wants to. He can take a shepherd boy and conquer an army versus an army that would rather look at what they have instead of who they serve. They'd rather look at what they have than who they serve. Now, David got mad not because of this big old nasty, you know, military Philistine. He got mad because the Philistine was talking about his God. See, we in the church, we're just like, well, that's just the way the world is. They don't like us. And we're going to sit in church and sing Just As I Am, Amazing Grace, and standing on the premises. Then the good ship, God's ship, will come get us one day and everything will be all right because God loves me. Well, did you go ye therefore into the world? No, that was for other Christians. That wasn't my calling. Wasn't my calling, Pastor. I was called to write books about the authority of Christ in an intergalactical relationship in the 21st century. Do y'all think on the day of judgment God's going to listen to that stuff? He may even call it a name that shocks y'all. God said, go ye therefore into the world. You know what he really said? Reveal, expose who I am to the world. You know what David's fixing to do? He's fixing to step to the battle line and expose God. I think one of the things that's funny about Elizabeth and I's marriage, among a long list of things that are funny, but the length of time that we've been married exposes God. Especially to a younger generation, because they meet me and they meet Elizabeth, and then they look at Elizabeth and they go, how have you done it? Especially all these years in a culture of divorce, in a culture of quit, how do you stay to it? Man, you trust God. But what's this? Has it been perfect? Heavens no. Do I want somebody else's marriage? Absolutely not. Because I know how God works with our problems. Elizabeth, you don't want to be married to somebody else, do you? You'd have to break a whole nother man in. You'd be old by the time you get that done. It takes a long time to train a husband. See what I'm saying? But if you stay with God's power, God works beyond. Hear this, church. This is good news. God works beyond the prediction of humanity. You know what everybody told Elizabeth and I? They told us we wouldn't last. Especially Elizabeth's mother. And in spite of her prayers, I stayed. God came through. Jack, what was the prediction on you and Sue? 6 months. 51 or 52. 52 years later, their prediction was wrong. Because what God has said is greater than what we might say. See, the Philistine said, I'm going to defeat you, army of Israel. David said, that's not what God said. He said, have y'all forgot about Saturday school, they Jews? He said, do you remember that God made a promise to Abraham? And he said, you will be, and because God made a promise, I'm going to trust God's promise instead of this big mouth uncircumcised Philistine. Well, I wish we'd get that kind of guts today. I don't know about y'all. We serve a risen Lord. Hello. Amen. It is well with my soul. We serve a risen Lord. We serve a rabbi that was killed on Friday and got up on Sunday. And we will need to have a seminar on more power in the church. Why don't we just turn on what we've been given? Amen. Pastor Jeff, I argue we don't need more. We need to use what we got. I don't think we use what we have. I mean, y'all have ever prayed, dear God, save 1,000 this week. Dear God, change my neighborhood. Dear God, change the attitude that I see boiling in this culture. Lord, change the minds of our leaders when they just want to do things that absolutely aren't going to work. God, I trust your power over my perspective. You got to be in prayer to get there. Well, David gets there. Finally, Saul, the king, the authority agrees to let him actually go do this. He couldn't find anybody else to do it. So verse 38, we begin. I just want to teach you this. Stay in who God made you to be. Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. Hello? Saul dressed David in his tunic. Saul put his clothes on David, his tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. Hold on, this is where a lot of us mess up. We try to do battle like somebody else. We try to put somebody else's tunic on. We try to put a bronze helmet on our head. Be who you are. Be who you are. I mean, if I try to look like another preacher, it'd be gross, wouldn't it? And see, they look cool doing that, but I don't look cool. I mean, if I parted my hair over with the Gillette hair look and put on the wingtips and the suit and
talk to you all about the ecclesiology of the movement.
I mean, it just doesn't work for me. I'm like, hey, dude, God's here. God uses us as we are. And I'm going to keep pounding you in that head. Guess what? Eli, dance for Jesus, man. And don't ever stop dancing for Jesus. Be a great scholar for Jesus. Stay in who you are. Now, you got to be careful because the world will tempt you to put on their clothes. See, old Saul said, you need my tunic, you need my helmet, you need my armor. David strapped his sword. Notice he carried his sword. David put his sword, just uncomfortable. Just didn't work. Now, hear me today. God has given you a ministry that is your sergeant. There's only one sergeant. There's only one sergeant. He'll view you it. You and your beautiful wife, y'all are it. You all give that contribution. If you try to act like Doc, gross. I think y'all begin to understand Hillview. Jerry, remember when you first, yeah, because I, you know, you dress sharp, okay? Remember when you came to Hillview, you first started coming, you said, Pastor, I need to take off my tie. And I said, no, Doc, you a tie guy. That's what God made you. And the reason I knew that, I'm going to tell a story on Jerry. I passed by his house, and he had his tie thrown back as he was putting horse feed in his feeder. I said, Jerry, any man feed a horse with a tie on likes ties. But hold on, that tie blessed by God becomes powerful. And that T-shirt blessed by God becomes what? Some people wear boots, some people wear flip-flops. That's not the issue. The power of God in both does battle. Does that make sense? Do y'all know I'm telling the truth? Most churches I go to, I don't want to make an indictment, but I guess I am. Most churches I go to, everybody looks alike. Same kind of folk. Am I not telling the truth, Sarge? I mean, I remember back early 90s when they started talking about cloning. Remember that Dolly the sheep? They started talking about cloning. I was in school in an academic setting, and they said, well, Reverend Ayers, what do you think about cloning? I said, I don't think it's nothing new. I'm a Southern Baptist. We've been doing it since 1950. Have you ever been to a Southern Baptist convention? All the preachers look alike, got the same haircut, wear the same suit, wear the same khakis, carry the same Bible. I've told you all this before, and they all wear Old Spice. Now, you get 30,000 Old Spice preachers in one coliseum, and you can hear that sailor. He ain't whistling, son. He's on high broadcast. I remember I was in Atlanta last time I went to one of the committees. I was in Atlanta, and they didn't have to say there's a preacher. They walked. Like, there's a preacher. It's not about that. It's not about being somebody else, but it's about believing that God will in you. You know what David teaches me? Be who you are. I think about football. Football season's coming up, and it's interesting. I always think kickers are interesting. Kickers. You know, kick field goals, kickoff, punts. If you look at the kicker, now, if you were a kicker, that's fine. You were on the team. But most kickers don't look like what? The rest of football. I mean, kicker, usually now they have like long hair, you know, and it'll be highlighted. And they're always jittery, Billy, because a lot of them play soccer. And they're jittery kind of guys. But you know what? You don't think about the kicker, do you, Jones, to win. I thought about Blake's senior year of playing football and how many games we won with the kicker. Or as Elizabeth reminded me, the regional championship that we lost because of the kicker. It goes both ways. But can you imagine a kicker trying to act like a linebacker or a kicker trying to be a lineman? They have to play according to their what? Position. And they're part of the game in church. I really want to encourage us. We got to do that. You got to ask God constantly every day, Lord, I need to know who you are and I need to know who I am in you. Not just who I am, but who I am in you. you. David knew who he was. He was a child of the living God. He was going to be used by God. He was purposed by God, but he knew who God was. David fasted on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. "I cannot go in these," he said to Saul, "because I'm not used to them." So he took them off. Pause. What do you need to take off today that belongs to somebody else? Belongs to somebody else. Somebody else's armor. Maybe it's an attitude. Maybe it's a position. Listen, I say this at Hillview. It's one of the things that made this church work. If you're a quieter person, be quiet. Do you realize you can be a great witness? My mama, if y'all met my mama, you would go, "There ain't no way she raised you." She did. My mother, she teaches here. She is a total introvert. Sweet, charming, doesn't want to offend anybody. I'll offend everybody. Loud. But guess what? She got to be mama and I got to be me. She's a great witness. She can do something that I can't do. God gifted her to write. And literally, I'm talking literally, thousands. Literally, not preacherly, literally. Thousands of notes have come from God through her hand to thousands of people. God has given her as big a voice as I will ever have through pen and paper to touch the world. To say God is with you. See how it works? Be who you are. David understood this principle. He said, "Saul, I can't go in these things. I can't go in these things. They don't fit." And then guess what he did? He got back to who he was. Now you got today, I'm telling you, what do you need to take off that belongs to somebody else? Somebody else's attitude, somebody else's, you know, you're trying to front somebody else's image. Be your image. Be what God has made you to be. Be his image in you. That's better. Then he took off his staff in his hand, and he chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in his pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in hand approached the Philistines. Hold on. He went with what he knew. Guess what? We're Hillview. We preach the cross and resurrection. We're going to continue to do that. Hey, that's not popular anymore. You know, that's not cool. That's not in the ministry cool groove. You know, I'm supposed to be talking about justification of the world today. Social justice, that's one of the cool grooves. It'll fade, just like everything else has faded. In my time of ministry, all these trends, guess what they are? Thank God, they're trends. It is well with my soul stands in the cross and the resurrection, and it will not go away. The power of God comes through generation after generation. Now, I'm challenging us today, will we let it come through us? Just a shepherd boy. Sometimes I'm in places I can't believe, like New York City, talking to a group of really sophisticated people. Well, JD, I'm in a dilemma. Guess what? I can't be sophisticated. I could fake it, Bob, but I find it better to just be me. I don't try to get a New York accent when I'm in New York. Guess what I say? "You boys is all right." They go, "Oh, really? Well, you guys is really glad you came up." That's fine. We come through different contexts, the same God. All I can be is me, and all you can be is you. I'm not a sophisticate from the East Coast. I'm a Southern Kentucky boy who loves Jesus Christ. I like my food fried. And if that kills me early, praise unto the Lord. See what I'm saying? I like gathering at grandma's house to eat. I like seeing green. We all got different places, but we got to do battle. Feel what breaks my heart? Man, the church don't want to do battle. There's times we got to come to the battle line. And I'm telling you what, 5 stones in a slingshot's enough with God. 5 stones in a slingshot's enough with who, Freddie? Now, let me tell you what. You go with your 5 stones and your slingshot up against the technology of the Philistines, and you'll be whipped. But you take 5 stones in your slingshot in the power of God, you are weaponized. Some people believe this. The Middle East, man, them people are crazy. They'll attack a tank with a fork. With a rock, won't they? Doc, you've been over there. I mean, here comes this big tank, and they got some guy, boom, throwing rocks at him. Because why? They believe. You imagine a church in America that was just in society and say, I'm sorry to offend you, but I believe Jesus Christ is the Lord. I believe he died on the cross. I believe he's risen from the grave. I believe he gives us a lifestyle that's better with him than without him. And I'm going to live it no matter what anybody else says. We used to call that faithful people in America. Now we worried that somebody won't come to church because they're going to get offended. Well, guess what? A lot of people don't come to church because they haven't been offended. They haven't been confronted with their sin. They haven't been confronted with the possibilities of God. They haven't been filled with the power of God. They haven't seen God released. David walks to the battle line, 5 smooth stones and a slingshot. He walks to the battle line without armor because he's not used to fighting with armor. And guess what he does? He comes in the name of God. Now, meanwhile, the Philistine is amazed that such a weak person would come before him. Meanwhile, the Philistine, with his shield bearer in front of him, kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw he was little more than a boy, glowing with health and handsome, and he despised him. All warriors hate what's coming behind them, don't they? Kind of reminds me of college football. You know, you finally get to your senior year, you built up, you know what to do. Jeff, you remember this, your senior year, right there you were, Jeff Reynolds, All-American, big guy, center college. And who came in? Some little freshman, well, in your case, some 300-pound freshman, looking all good, hadn't taken 4 years' worth of licks on a college field, and he was there to take your position. So he thought. I mean, Goliath is offended. Y'all send out this little handsome boy. You know what I mean, Bradley? He was kind of cute. He looked at him and said, man, you gonna send a pretty boy out here to do battle against me, a warrior? You know what I'm talking about, Dave? He had some cuts, Goliath did. He'd been in battle. David been with sheep. Goliath been with battle. He goes, man, that's not going to be a fair fight. David said, well, it's not about fair. Probably wasn't a fair fight. Now, if we were under our thinking today, Goliath should have dropped his armor and become just like David so that we'd have equality and be able to have a fair battle. Or David should give up 2 of his stones. No, he went with what he had. But what he had wasn't enough. But who he knew was everything. You know what he did? He didn't listen to Goliath. He said to David, am I a dog that you'd come at me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Come here, he said, and I'll give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals. David said to the Philistine, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord God Almighty. You know what David said? You big boy. This paraphrase, it doesn't say this exactly here. David said, you a big boy, and you got a big sword, and you got a powerful resume, and I've heard about you for months and how good you are at fighting, but the problem is, buddy, you have come against my God, and you can bring all your little gods you want to. You can bring the Babylonian gods and the Mesopotamian gods, and you can bring Marduk and his whole gang. But you've come against the God. And David didn't believe all gods to be equal, like some of y'all do. How many of y'all have heard this one right here? Well, all religions are the same. We're all trying to get to the same place. We're just grouping together to find the goodness and morality of our inner souls. That's not the Bible. The Bible says that we've sinned against God in a very wretched way, and it takes a very precious Savior to die on a very hard cross, so that he might rise again and we might have a shot at heaven because God did something. No other religion says that. David knew they weren't the same. So check us out, David. David. Jones, the Philistine evoked his gods. curse David with his gods in the name of his gods. It's like I'm reading a newspaper, isn't it? By the way, the shooter at Fort Hood that was actually an Islamic terrorist in our military uniform, that's what he really was. It wasn't workplace violence. We couldn't politically admit to it because it was too uncomfortable, but understand, he said, I did this in the name of my God. I took life in the name of my God. David's fixing to take a life because of the power of his God. I know that bothers a lot of you pacifists that God would take a life. God will clear out the opposition. Goliath was standing against who? God. I'm going to give you something. You decide. Nobody will ever be smart enough, rich enough, technologically advanced enough to stand against God. Let me help you. No nation will last long that stands against the Almighty God. Thank God we have schools. Tim Murley, that's why I'm an educational supporter. You know why? They teach history in school. Those of you who are adverse at history, you can't give me one nation that stood against God and stood very long. Even the fortified Rome. Rome that almost ruled the world is in ruins. All great nations that have turned against God. I give you just a little something to go check. All nations that have messed with God's land haven't been very powerful after that. Just go check your history. When you start drawing lines for God, God drew the line through David on the Philistine. David, guess what he did? He said, I'm coming in the name, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down, cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine. I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. That's pretty brave for a boy, isn't it? He said, let me tell you something, Goliath. You've come against the Almighty God. I'm going to give all the carcasses of the army to the birds and wild animals because I know my God. All those gathered here will know that it is not by my sword or spear that the Lord saves. It's not by swords and spears. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you over into our hands. Y'all know the rest of the story, don't you? David fired up the slingshot, and the stone stuck into the forehead of the giant Goliath, and he fell what? Dead. He wasn't injured. He was dead. Now, I want to show you why you need to know he was dead. You stand against God, you'll die. You reject Jesus Christ, you don't get injured. You die eternally. Isn't it interesting that God does the same thing over and over again, hoping we'll get it? The armies of Israel are about to be crushed by the world, and God sends in someone who can save them, a shepherd boy. You reckon God was trying to show us something? There would be the armies of the world. There would be the enemies. There would be the devil. There would be evil. There would be demonic powers and principalities that come against humanity. And Jesus comes as the good shepherd. And this time he doesn't come with slingshot, but he comes with stretched out arms, and he dies on the cross. And he said, whoever shall believe in me shall not what? Perish. He stepped in. I mean, y'all trust Jesus to suit you well. I really believe that Jesus suits you well. And so as we embark on a fall new school year, I want to thank God for all your all's prayers to the best of my ability, unless somebody tells me different. All schools started off well. We didn't have any crazy incidents and things to roll in. We're back in the educational process. And, man, that's hallelujah. Parents, I want to thank you for being here and having your children in the knowledge of God. You say, well, is preschool important? Is children's ministry important? Is children learn? Yeah. David wasn't very old when he had to stand. And there'll be some young people that stand up today for Jesus Christ. There'll be some people that turn it. Let me tell you who they won't be. They won't be people that try to be other people. Because if you try to be another person, then guess what? You're just as limited as you were before. But if you'll be who you are in the power that God gives you, all things become possible. even if the world says it can never happen. Guess what God says? I will. Pretty cool, isn't it? I will. So we got a challenge, amen? People believe God works in this world today? What do you think? You think, Adam? They believe it? The world, they believe God works? They say, Ayers, this was told to me directly. They said, Ayers, I cannot believe a man who has studied like you and been exposed to just the world like you are and in the way that you're able to interpret and comprehend things. This was by an intellectual. He said, I cannot believe that you can believe an imaginary man that was both man and God. And I said, sir, with all due respect, with your intellect, your knowledge, your ability to read statistics, I can't see how you don't. I said, you have a greater faith than I. I said, you believe humanity can produce goodness. I have not found that to be true in history. I have found that humanity will glorify itself at the price of others' deaths. And I found that to be infallible wherever I am in the world. We will kill each other to glorify ourselves. True or false? Goes on every day. Drug dealers kill people so they can have what? Money. Top business guys, they cheat so they can what? Yeah. Wealth. Power. And what do you do? This is the question. I'm going to end on this. What do you do? Now note Goliath. And hear this very clearly. He died in his own power. What happens when you die in your own power?
Thank you, Gary. You're right. You did.
When you die under the power of God, what happens? We sang about it today. You rise. That makes sense? Well, I hope you've learned. Anybody learn anything today? Anybody reminded of some things today? How many of y'all go ask God, God, I need to do. Listen, Monday morning's coming. It's a battle. It's a battle to act like Jesus at the minute mark. It's a battle to drive down the road and not be thrown off a bat right off before you get to work. How many of y'all got an employee you don't like? How many of y'all got somebody you got to work with? It's tough. It's difficult. Any of y'all work with difficult human beings? I do. Mine are all praying. You see what I'm saying? George, you ever been married to a difficult woman? Of course you have. And has God blessed it and made it glorified?
Absolutely.
Eleanor, in the spirit of fairness, you ever been married to a difficult man? And what did God do with it? He blessed it. I'm going to ask some of y'all come pray. Guess what? Absolutely, there's people in here that need to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Today, you need to put on a right suit. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. How many of y'all that far along? I've sinned. You look at the Ten Commandments, you know anybody's passed? Keith, you know anybody's passed? You met anybody that's ever fulfilled the Ten Commandments? Other than the one who lives in you? That's it. Jesus is the only person that ever fulfilled the Ten Commandments. Nab, nobody else fulfilled the Ten Commandments. Nobody! Talking my mama didn't even make it on the Ten Commandments. My sweet holy mama, you know what, son? She lied. When I was growing up, she'd tell people I was a good little boy. Wrong. That's bearing false witness. Huh? Nobody but God. And guess what God's willing to do? He's willing to suit you for heaven. If you've never asked the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, you know what I do today? Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need life. Lord Jesus, come into my life, forgive me my sins. Now some of y'all are going, Steve, what's going to happen to me? You're going to become what God wants you to be.
Well, can you give me exactly?
I don't have all the details. You don't have all the details. It's kind of like having a child. If you had a child and knew everything they were going to be into the next 25 years, you'd give them back at birth. True or false? Huh? I mean, what if you had a map of everything Brian was going to do up to this point, the day he's born? Those adoption papers would have been filed on day two. But that's not the way it works. It's that God reveals himself through us on a daily basis. I don't think David knew he was going to defeat a giant He just knew a God when he came up against a giant that would defeat a giant. And I think we got to live that way. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, I invite you to come and receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. Now listen, some of y'all need to say, God, I'm sorry. I've been trying to be somebody else. And this week, I want you to begin to reveal who I am in Christ. What's my role? Does that make sense? What's my role? What's my role? And God will be very clear on showing you your role. Some of y'all need to take off the king's armor. Some of y'all need to quit wanting to be the king. King lust. So I think I ought to be the king. Well, if you should have been the king, guess what you'd have been? King. You're not. Now be what you're supposed to be. Yeah. Make sense? Maybe you're supposed to be what you're supposed to be because one day you're going to be the king and you got to learn some stuff before you can be the king. That makes sense? All right, well, let's stand up. Let's ask God to bless. Oh, by the way, just so you'll know what happened. The guy who wouldn't wear the king's armor eventually became the king. But he couldn't wear king's armor while he was a shepherd. Let's let God speak to us. Lord, thank you that you make us who we are and you design us how we're supposed to be. And Lord, forgive us when we try to become other things. And God, just continue to focus with us and work with us. All right, listen, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you just tell him right now, Lord, I'm a sinner. I know it. Lord Jesus, come into my life and forgive me of my sin. I just want to say I'm thankful that God forgave a sinner named Steve Ayers. Today he can put your name there. Lord Jesus, I have sinned against you. He said, Pastor, will he forgive that? He'll forgive that. And he'll forgive that and that and that. He forgives sin. Lord Jesus, come into my life and forgive me of my sin. Now, believers, this is a good time. The Bible tells us in 1 John 1:9 that we need to be faithful on confessing our sins so we can relive the mercy of God. Just because we're believers doesn't mean we're perfect. Lord, I'm sorry for what I've not lived up to who you are in me. Help me live up to that. Amen. That's a great time at the altar. What you need to take off and what you need to put on, just let God speak. Church, it's in the name of Jesus we open this altar up. The power of the Holy Spirit's here. If you need prayers of healing, you need whatever, this altar's here for us to come and gather and close out a service. Remembering the power of God in our life. Come on, let's take on this week knowing that the Lord Jesus Christ is doing great things in our lives, will do great things in our lives. He has not left us by ourselves. He has not left us by ourselves.